Psalm 5 and verse 3. Psalm 5 and verse 3 says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Verse 7, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." I want you to notice David. This is a psalm of David right here. It says in verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." I want to speak this morning on the subject of the secret to a fruitful life. The secret to a fruitful life. Without a doubt, David, in his realm, in his dispensation, lived one of the most fruitful lives that a man has ever lived. They counted fruitfulness in his day as the leader of the kingdom of Israel differently than we would certainly count fruitfulness in our lives. But I want you to think about the fact that David, just to show how fruitful and influential his life was, he went from being the only boy, teenager, in his kingdom with a slingshot and a stone, the valiancy to fight the fights of God and to battle against the enemies of God. He went from him being the only one to having 1.3 million men by the end of his reign who were followers of him and who were described this way. In 2 Samuel 24 and verse 9, it says this, "And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king. And there was in Israel 800,000, listen, valiant men that drew the sword. And the men of Judah were 500,000 men. Valiant men that drew the sword." There was a time when he was the only one. He didn't even have a sword. He had a stone. And after Goliath tormented the armies of Israel as they cowered in fear for 40 days, he'd come down to the valley and he'd blaspheme the God of Israel. And he'd blaspheme the nation of Israel and reproach God's people. David went down with a slingshot and five smooth stones, and he took one of them and he wound it up, and God directed that stone, and he slew the giant Goliath, and Goliath fell over. And at that moment, David was the only valiant man to be found in all of Israel. A few years later, he would be anointed as king, and then sometime later, when he was around 30 years of age, he would finally reign over Israel. And he would have about a 40-year reign. And during that time, he would accumulate and he would train and he would influence 800,000 men in Israel, 500,000 men in Judah, to also be valiant men that drew the sword. 1.3 million men. There was never a time when Israel's kingdom was stronger. There was never a time when they were more spiritual. There was never a time when they had any greater military might. There was never a time when they were more unified. Without a doubt, David lived a very fruitful life, and it is commented about him in the New Testament that he served his generation by the will of God. He was a man, even though he was extremely busy as a king, as a military leader, in establishing a kingdom. Even though he had all that going for him, he was a man who took time for God every single day. And in this psalm, he tells the secret to why he had such a fruitful life when he said these words in verse 3, "My prayer shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning, O Lord, will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." He was a man who had a private time with God every single day, and he was busy. Not only was he leading the kingdom, but he was also called the sweet psalmist of Israel. There was a sweetness about his spirit. We know he had some problems in his life, just like all of us. Ours just aren't recorded for everyone to read. But it says about him in 2 Samuel 23:1, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." He lived a very, very fruitful life, and he realized that the secret of living a fruitful life was meeting God every single morning of your life and never missing. In my Bible, I have a poem pasted in the back of my Bible. I love this poem. It speaks to me volumes. I'd probably read it more than any poem. It's by Ralph Cushman. The name of it is called The Secret. Some of you have heard it dozens of times because I read it all the time. He said these words, "I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea." Other ships were torn and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence far behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must meet God in the morning if you want him through the day. And I want to talk to you this morning about having personal devotions with God every morning of your life. Meeting God in the morning, no matter how busy you are. Martin Luther, the reformer, one time said these words. He said, "I have so much to do today. I must spend the first 4 hours in prayer." That's what he said. And it shouldn't shock us that 500 years after his death, his influence is still in the world, still affecting people. Susanna Wesley had 16 children. Probably a pretty busy lady, wouldn't you say? But she trained her children to be quiet. Her home was characterized by quietness. There were times when her husband was put in prison because back then, not that he was a bad man, but back then if you didn't pay your bills, you were put in prison. It's not like today. There was times she had to run the whole ship by herself. 16 children. She made it a point to spend an hour with God every morning. Somehow. 16 children. And then an hour with each child individually every single week. And then, of course, collectively all the time. She was there. She gave them all a devoted hour just to be with her. She knew how to pray. She knew how to get along with God. Her 15th child and her 16th child were named John and Charles Wesley. They became the founders of the Methodist Church, or what sometimes today are called Wesleyan churches. There are Wesleyan churches, even though they've been dead for 300 years. There are Wesleyan churches all over Western New York, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is still being preached and souls are still being saved. And John and Charles Wesley always gave testimony to the fact that the most profound influence in their life was their mother, Susanna Wesley. And as busy as she was, she recognized that there is nothing more important than spending time alone with God every single day of her life. It's the secret to a fruitful life. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. We not only should direct our prayers unto the Lord, but we should also look up. Sometimes we pray into the wall. Don't you? I do sometimes. All right, sometimes I just pray to the ceiling. They bounce right back at me. But we ought to look up. And when we look up, some very, very special things happen to us when we look unto God the first thing in our day. In Psalm 34, in verse number 5, it says this, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Notice that. They looked unto him and were lightened. That means as they looked unto the Lord, they were illuminated. God gave them illumination that they needed for their lives. Because every one of our lives are different. I don't need the illumination for your problems, but you do. I don't need the illumination for your trials and tribulations. I don't know what to tell you, but God does. And if you look up unto him, it says they were lightened. He gave them illumination. Every day a father needs to have illumination on how to raise his children. Every day a mother needs to have illumination on how to raise her children. Every day a single mother needs God's help. Every day a single person needs God's help. You need God's illumination with your finances and with your health and with your job and with your ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will look up, if we will let our voices be known unto God in the morning, that's what David did, and he lived such a fruitful life. He says, and look up. I looked up, and the Bible says, I was enlightened. God honors the practice of a person looking unto him every single morning. Now somebody says, I'm not good enough to talk to God. I've sinned. I'm a bad person. I feel guilty about even coming to God and asking him for anything. There's hope for you today. One of the worst human beings that ever lived was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You can read about his story in the book of Daniel. He was wicked, if there was ever a wicked man. He became so wicked that the Bible says his mind was hardened in pride. And he made a big image of himself, 75 feet tall, and made everybody worship him. His mind was hardened in pride. Nobody could talk to him. But God loved him. God dealt with him. God, in his love, chastened him and humbled Nebuchadnezzar. And he literally lost his mind. And I think of some mental problems nowadays are rooted in the sin of pride, that selfish, self-centered sin that just makes people's minds do strange things. He lost his mind, and the Bible says he was turned out to the fields like an animal. And for 7 years he ate grass as an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. What a pitiful picture of a man. But God had mercy on him. It says in verse 34, Daniel 4, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, listen, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. That's what we're talking about today. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning shall I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. It says, this man, Nebuchadnezzar, who is probably worse than any of us in this room, he says, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Here's the next thing it says. And mine understanding returned unto me. He got his mind back when he spent some time with God alone. Our quiet time alone with God is so very important. David, he was a busy man. Martin Luther was a busy man. Susanna Wesley was a busy woman. but they jealously protected that time alone with God, and they realized nobody is more important than God. My job's not. Making money's not. My business isn't. My family's not more important than God. And I must meet God in the morning. It says of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus went out in the morning. He found a solitary place. And if I don't know anybody who is busier than Jesus Christ. The Bible testifies to us that all the books of the world could not contain the works that he did. He worked so hard. Yet Jesus found time to find a solitary place in the morning and prayed to the Lord. Jesus is still influencing lives today. What an influential life he lived, because the secret of a fruitful life is spending time with God every single morning of your life. Job was tried more than any man that ever walked the earth. I believe I know why Job did not collapse under his trial. Did you ever see somebody collapse under their trial? See, Job had built a foundation in his life before the trial came. Before the trial came, Job had built a foundation in his life. And when the trial came and the winds blew and the rains came down, the floods came up, as Jesus said, would happen to everybody's life. There will always be in everybody's lives, rains are going to come down from heaven. You're going to get it from above. You're going to get it from the side, from human beings. You're going to get it from below, from the devil. We're going to get it from every direction in this life. But Jesus said, the person that builds their life upon me and my words, when that storm comes, their house will stand because it's founded upon a rock. You know where you get that foundation of your life built? In your quiet time alone with God every morning. Where you spend time in the Bible, reading the Bible. Whether it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes, it's better than nothing. And if you pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15, it's better than nothing. And you will build a foundation in your life where when the storms come, your life will you'll be able to stand. I know Job had some struggles and he had some things that he learned through his trial, but he didn't fall apart. And why? Well, he gives us this glimpse here in Job chapter 23 and verse number 12. He says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That's why Job made it. Job made it because he had esteemed the words of God's mouth. I don't even know what he had back then. I don't even know what he had. We don't even know when he lived. It was probably during the times of the patriarchs. What did they have written? What they knew was passed down to them, but he esteemed the what part of the word of God. We have the whole thing today. We have the completed revelation today. All 66 books of the canon are completed and preserved for us, inspired and put in our lap in this King James Bible. But Job said, "I have esteemed the words of my mouth more than my necessary food," the words of thy mouth. This verse affected me once. I used to be a farmer, and I was a farmer for four years of marriage before I became a pastor, and that was hard work. It was busy work. You had to get there earlier. You worked all day long. Man, you were tired when you came home. But I used to have, based on Job 23:12, Job's influence affected me. And I used to live by this little motto back in those days: no Bible, no breakfast. And that is what I live by. And every day of my life for the last 31 years, the first thing I've done is opened up the Bible, the Word of God, and read it. And then ate my breakfast, and then I went into prayer. Prayed to God. Sometimes shorter times than others, but I try to spend some quality time. I don't even bother trying to come over to the church till I do this. Because you get to the church, the phone starts ringing, people start asking questions, all kinds of stuff starts happening. Listen, you've got to jealously protect your time alone with God. It's the secret to a fruitful life. I haven't lived the most fruitful life. I wish I'd have done more, but there's been some fruit that has lasted from my life, from my ministry, because I've tried. And some of you are the same way. You're living fruitful lives because you try to meet God in the morning, no matter how busy you are. My kids probably remember growing up, and if I was in prayer and somebody called, they didn't come and get me. They just told the person he's praying. The people all thought we were weird. Sometimes they'd have to repeat it 2 or 3 times, he's praying. And a little while later, I hear him say, he's praying. Like the person wasn't understanding English. What's he doing? He's praying. You know, they're just little. They're just like they enjoyed answering the phone. You know, see who the first one was to get it. They didn't understand it. You know, I do not understand why it seems strange to the human race that one of His creatures should talk to the Creator. But boy, you pray in a restaurant or something. It looks like you're like, what would you thank God for food for? What a world. But I've tried to jealously protect that in my life. Try to at least read through the Bible once a year, sometimes twice a year. My wife does about 3 times a year, cover to cover. We've got one-year Bibles. If you don't know how to get started, get a hold of one of these and it'll help you. But listen, there's never been a time, especially you young people, listen to me carefully, and adults, there's never been a time where I think we've been challenged more to protect our quiet time with God from distractions than today. There's so much newspapers and books and television, cable TV, direct TV, sports, radio, Twitter, Facebook, cell phones, iPhones, iPads, emailing, texting. Kids are in school 30 hours a week. They're in front of the television 40 hours a week. Then you suggest they go to church for 2 and they think, what are you, in a cult? Did you join a cult or something? You go to church twice a week? You go on Sunday nights? You go on Wednesday nights? You go to church for 5 hours a week? Nobody ever said, you go to school for 30 hours a week? You watch TV for 40, that's 70 hours combined of influence. Boy, would to God we had the attitude of David in our psalm today, verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and I will, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. God hangs out at the church, you know. And He shows us things, but God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. That's why I'm encouraging you to have a daily time of quiet time. And then when we come to church, we sing, we praise the Lord, we make a lot of noise. We're supposed to. The Bible says so. But there needs to be a time when we settle down and listen to the Word of God. There's times when you should get your children out to camp and your teenagers. We got winter camp coming up in a couple of weeks, 3 days. And summer camps, 5 days, no cell phones allowed. No texting, no Twittering, no whatever else they do. No Facebook, no laptops, no nothing. And isn't it amazing how oftentimes our children and our teenagers have an encounter with God at camp because it's quiet time. God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says this, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Zechariah the prophet said in Zechariah 2 and verse 13, be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, because He is raised up out of His holy habitation. There are people today who never have any silence. The radio is always on. Background music's always on. The television's always on. They're always surfing the net. They're always checking their messages. Twittering and checking up on their Facebook accounts and so on. Man, I've heard of Christians recently. I've heard of Christians quitting Facebook because the longer they've gotten on there, the more they've seen their spirituality plummet. You know, good things, even good things like trying to stay in touch with your friends can become an enemy of the best. Staying close to God. One of the greatest truths I've ever, I should say I'm learning. I don't want to say I've learned this, but I'm trying to learn this, is that when it comes to this life, it is better to know God than to know the answers. Sometimes people get tripped up over questions and they never go forward. They won't go anywhere. I'm not going any farther until I get an answer to this question. It's better to know God than to know the answers. And the way you get to know God is you meet Him every morning. You get your Bible out and you pray. It says over in Psalm 46 and verse number 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Elijah did not hear from God in the earthquake or in the great fire or in the great wind, but when all that noise settled down, then he heard a still, small voice. And that's when God gave Elijah direction for his life. Man, our lives are too noisy. Our homes are too noisy. Our cars are too noisy. I can't tell you how many times I've made that steering wheel an altar and I just spent time in prayer and communion with God. I think some of the most wonderful things God's ever taught me has been the things that I've learned while I was driving, while I was meditating on what I had read earlier that morning in my devotions. Folks, you got to have devotions. You got to have personal devotions. Not what your parents are teaching you at the supper table, and I hope you do that. But you got to have your own personal devotions. You got to jealously protect them. You got to get to the place where you do that so often, where you read the Bible in the morning and pray that you become addicted to it. It's just second nature. You don't even think about it anymore. It's the secret to a fruitful life. The ladies sang a beautiful song earlier, "Born to Die," by Ron Hamilton. Ron Hamilton has lived one of the most fruitful lives a man could live. He really has. But it started out about 30 years ago when he had cancer and he lost his eye. A tremendous trial came into his life. He had a wife, kids, growing family, and he got cancer, lost his eye. They had to take his eye out, put a patch over his eye. The little kids in church started mocking him out and calling him Patch the Pirate. He became a children's minister in that church, and he started a ministry called Patch the Pirate Ministries. And that ministry's been so fruitful, it's gone all over the country and all over the world. Even our church and our chapel uses his curriculum to teach our children some of the most, I think it's the best curriculum I think I've ever seen made up for children. Ron Hamilton has led a fruitful life. But he wrote this poem, and I want you to listen to these words. He said, "Before I start each day, there is a special place I love to go alone and seek my Savior's face. I find wisdom in His word to instruct me in His will, and I hear His gentle voice say, 'My child, be still.' My quiet time alone gives me power to obey. My quiet time alone with God each day. I talk to Him in prayer. Every day He meets me there. My quiet time alone with God." That's what got him through. These last 30 years, I hear he's struggling with his health again. I'm not sure. But he's lived a fruitful life. It's the secret. He's with me all the time wherever I may go. Each moment of the day, He's always there, I know. But I need that special time when I bow before His throne. just to read his word and talk with my Lord alone. My quiet time alone gives me power to obey. My quiet time alone with God each day, I talk to him in prayer. Every day he meets me there. My quiet time alone with God. In closing, there's two ladies. Same house, same environment, same circumstances, same trials, same troubles, same tribulations. Sisters, but radically different. Their names were Martha and Mary. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village. I'm reading Luke 10:38. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Good thing. Applaud Martha. At least she did one thing right. It's all downhill from here, though. There's many women that have allowed Jesus Christ to come into their life but have not given him the rightful place in their life. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Can you imagine saying that to Jesus Christ? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? To sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word, even though there was a whole bunch of housework that needed to be done. She said, that can wait. Better have a dirty heart than, or a dirty home than a dirty heart. And Jesus said, what Mary has chosen will not be taken away from her. Mary chose a quiet time to sit alone with Jesus Christ. Hear his words. Martha, she soured. Some of you ladies have soured. She's bitter. She's angry. She's got issues with her sister. She's living with. She's got issues with God. All kinds of things went wrong for Martha. But Mary chose the needful part. It is needful that you and I sit at the feet of Jesus' feet every day and hear his word. It'll keep you from souring. You know, when you hang around somebody long enough, you tend to take on their characteristics. Have you ever noticed that? When you really hang around, that's why you got to watch who you choose as friends and so on and so forth. Because if you never turn out right, if you run with the wrong crowd, you tend to take on the characteristics of the people you hang around with. And I don't mean to make light of this sermon, but if you hang around with God, you're going to start taking on the characteristics of God. When you hang around with God and God is love, you're not going to have any problem loving your brothers and sisters in the church. Amen? If you do, maybe you haven't been hanging around God. You're not going to sour like Martha. You're going to be the sweet psalmist of Israel like David. When you hang around with God, have you noticed God likes to forgive people real fast? Have you noticed that? Have you ever noticed how God likes to forgive people like real fast? You know what happens when you start hanging around with God? You start forgiving people like real fast. It's okay. We're friends. You don't hold grudges against someone else in the church. You love the brethren. Why? Because God does. Have you never noticed God has a lot of peace? He hasn't gotten rattled lately. Man, when you start hanging around with God in your quiet time, things start working out with everybody else. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. He's still working on me. I'll close with this. Blind lady, Fanny Crosby. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. This lady's blind. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Here's what I was trying to say. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Now listen to the third verse, and we'll have prayer. Listen to this. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spent. When I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friends. She lived a pretty fruitful life, didn't she, Fanny Crosby? But the secret to a fruitful life, spending time with God every morning. Now listen, three things in closing. Some of you are doing it. Number one, keep doing it. Some of you used to do it, and you're not doing it anymore. Like the preacher said Friday night, press the restart button. Get back to having your daily devotions with God, reading the Bible and praying every morning. Number three, some of you never heard of this before. I didn't know you were supposed to do this. Start doing it today. Start doing it today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer.